yin-yang. The last day of the departing summer was warm, but everything around already spoke of the approaching windy autumn. A camp was set up on a wide platform near the forest park, resembling in scale a small organized festival or forum. Various people were bustling around, bathed in sunlight inside and out. Some of them were dressed in long clothing the color of ripe sea buckthorn berries, but for the most part they were ordinary people from different corners of the country, seeking spiritual knowledge. At the forefront of all the tents and curtains stood an impressive-sized tent, inside of which benches for listeners were thoughtfully arranged, along with a small pedestal for the main speaker. Everyone was awaiting another meeting with the great keeper of knowledge. By midday, the conversation with the guru was in full swing. There were many listeners and students. In addition to the designated seating areas, people crowded around all six exits of the tent, ready to stand and listen to the teacher, who carried light and truth into their hearts. By this time, the discussion revolved around various forms and manifestations of energy. There were many hands raised, but the teacher gestured softly to a red-haired girl with large green eyes sitting in the center. She stood up, and everyone had a better view of her neat appearance and long wine-colored dress that beautifully hugged her slender hands.
"Beloved teacher,"
she began,
"tell us, does all living things possess the same diverse energy as humans do? Like, for example, with humans, the right side is yang and the left is yin. For instance, the lake not far from the tent. When we walked there, it felt like the energy on both sides of the lake was completely different. Could it be that the lake, for instance, has yin energy on the left and yang on the right?"
"Yes, of course,"
the teacher responded with contentment.
"In lakes, rocks, and animals, there's also a division into yin and yang, into rajas, sattva, tamas. All these divisions are inherent to them. Even stones or mountains will have one part that is yang and another that is yin. In a person, some parts are yang, while others are yin. Everything is distributed in this way. Any being, any object, inevitably polarizes like this. In one place, there's a plus, and in another, a minus."
The next question came from a woman in her 40s with casually pulled back hair. Her face seemed very tanned, indicating that she had traveled a long way, or was an avid traveler.
"Teacher, may I ask?"
Her voice was respectful but fairly loud.
"I notice that when you are in a spiritually elevated state and self-control becomes easy, you can quickly switch between yin and yang. For example, if you are down, upset, or pitying yourself, more yin energy flows within you. You don't want to concentrate on anything, and it's very difficult to get excited, a kind of sluggishness. Or on the contrary, when you are in yang energy, it's intense, active. Is this normal?"
"Yes. The most important thing is to be able to switch quickly. Tune in such a way that you don't get stuck on anything and can switch rapidly when necessary. Now I'll show you something."
With these words, the teacher displayed a black and white image on a large projector screen hanging behind him.
"In esoteric astrology, I applied the yin-yang sign to the human body. Take a look."
The sage pointed to the image.
"The elements of this symbol resemble fish. Both the white and black fish have circles at their base. So if you overlay this symbol on the human body, one of the circles will be on Ajna and the other on Svadhisthana. This drawing accurately reflects the distribution of yin and yang energies in our body."
After the teacher's words, there was not a single person in the audience who did not want to ask a question. There were many raised hands, and a young man decided to speak for everyone, with the keeper's permission.
"Our most wise teacher, please tell us more about this symbol. Why does it have this shape? Does it hold special significance?"
The keeper began to respond slowly.
"In Chinese philosophy, three special energies were identified, named yin, passive, yang, active, and den, the neutralizing third power. Yin and yang themselves would be formless fields of energy, but den gives shape to their interaction, which we see in the yin-yang symbol. The circle in this symbol signifies the infinite rotation of powers, one around the other, and the constant repetition of the same situations. The wave that separates yin and yang indicates that the interaction of powers happens with the constant predominance of one or the other power, that all processes in life go in waves, or the law of octaves, sometimes rising, sometimes falling, and creating intervals where creation turns into destruction, activity into inertia, joy into sadness, and so on. The little circles of the opposite color in the yin and yang fields signify that within each power, the opposite power is already germinating. In yang, yin is born. In yin, yang is born. In passivity, future activity is already germinating. In activity, the future rests. If you compare the yin-yang diagram with the human body, these circles correspond to the Danteans, and the diagram itself shows the location of energy in the human body. The upper part is yang, and the lower part is yin. In the lower part, the yang circle coincides with Svadhisthana, the lower Dantian, the upper circle, with Yajna, the upper Dantian, and the wavy line with Anahata, the middle Dantian. Thus the three powers are located in the human body.
As soon as the sage finished speaking, a small commotion arose under the tent, and a buzz of excitement filled the air. The topic was truly captivating, and the teacher fueled the interest of the listeners with a detailed explanation. A middle-aged man, around 40 years old, of lean build with a clean-shaven chin, raised his hand.
Teacher, may I ask, why are these specific chakras, Ajna and Svadhisthana, chosen? How is it connected?
He inquired.
The reason is that the upper and lower Danteans are located precisely there. Svadhisthana is the fish of yin energy with a circle of yang. This means that active yang energy operates within it. Ajna is the yang fish, and within Ajna there is a yin circle. It is quite convenient, because in Ajna there should be a cool mind. Therefore, it turns out that Svadhisthana has yang energy, and Ajna has yin.
So,
the man continued,
does each chakra have one of these energies predominant?
Exactly.
The keeper looked warmly at the student.
Therefore, when looking at a chakra, one should pay attention to which energy predominates. But there are other things to consider here. For example, the elements. Chakras can be distributed among the elements in different ways, just as they are distributed among sattva, rajas, and tamas. The entire world and all living things polarize. Even matches in a matchbox possess these energies to some extent, and their existence depends on it. One match will ignite brightly, another will burn a little slower than the rest, and a third may even break.
The next question was asked by a tall, slender brunette with a charming mole above her lip.
Teacher, may I ask?
She began timidly.
Did I understand correctly that energy is evenly distributed between male and female in the human body? I've heard somewhere that the right side is masculine and the left is feminine. Our bodies are mostly asymmetric. If you look in the mirror, you can find that the left eye is slightly lower than the right, or one shoulder is higher than the other. Someone has one arm longer or shorter than the opposite. How does this relate to the distribution of energy in the body? I've noticed that my left side mainly suffers in life. If I get injured, it's always on the left. Does this mean that some kind of feminine karma was worked on in this life?
The sage carefully examined the girl's eyes, hesitated for a moment, and then replied,
"You could say that. These things need to be clarified by looking at the horoscope to see which planets are positioned, which signs. This will help you see how energy is distributed, in which parts of our body we will have strong organs, and in which parts weak ones. This determines which parts of our bodies suffer more and which suffer less. But without a horoscope, you won't diagnose anything here."
The girl thanked him and returned to her seat. And a young man sitting next to her immediately turned to the teacher.
Keeper, may I inquire about the switching of energies? It often happens that during the day, many of us are under the influence of yin energy. Relaxed, not deeply contemplating anything, doing everything mechanically. We lead a very passive lifestyle, except that saliva isn't dripping from our mouths. Does this mean we should cultivate yang energy? How much should yin energy be restricted, and when should it be activated? Or does it activate itself when needed?
The teacher smiled broadly and said,
Yin energy is already too prevalent. Therefore, all efforts should be directed towards cultivating yang.
At that moment, he put on a mockingly stern face, straightened up, and raised his eyebrows admonishingly, surveying the audience with a mentor's stern gaze.
You need more activity. Be active. That's what's sorely lacking today. For every active yang person, there are probably 1,000 relaxed yin loafers.
Everyone smiled. The teacher's jokes always lightened the atmosphere of serious discussions, but even humor from the lips of the keeper of knowledge carried a lion's share of profound thought, which every student should ponder. Each such joke was especially memorable to the listeners, and they loved to savor each one in their discussions after the lectures. After a short pause, everyone tuned back to their previous mode of receiving knowledge. The keeper gave the floor to a student standing near one of the exits, leaning his shoulder against a beam of the tent structure. He held up his other hand.
Tell me, teacher.
He began, and then lowered his hand.
Some people believe that there are special techniques for working with energy that can work without other auxiliary practices. So if we regularly chant a certain sound on each chakra, there will definitely be a certain effect. For example, some students believe that when we chant the sound Om on Manipura for 5 to 10 minutes every day, wealth will immediately come to us.
At these words, many listeners smiled indulgently.
What should I tell such students, and how can I convince them? Or maybe they're right?
The keeper of knowledge, also smiling, scratched his chin and began to explain.
You can tell these students that the most they will achieve with such manipulations is to attract some energy into the etheric body of that area. Perhaps that's it. Because this chakra has still a specific activity. Everything should work together here. Spiritual life inside the body, the desire for holiness, an understanding and awareness of one's physical body, knowledge gained in spiritual practices. Do you understand?
The teacher then turned to everyone and continued.
It cannot be that a person distant from the path of spiritual knowledge, or just embarking on it without firm conviction to live in goodness, chants a mantra, or performs rituals, and money appears as if by magic. To achieve that, one must know how to act on Manipura, for example. Learn to lead. Learn to take responsibility. If they have learned this, then it can be said that they will have money. But if they merely attract energy on an etheric level, at best, their stomach will function better. And that's all. To manifest oneself in society and occupy a high position, specific skills are required. It's not just about chanting the sound Om, but also about practicing austerities, giving up one's weaknesses, and overcoming them. Only then will this energy resemble Manipura, and one can talk about attracting financial flows. Until then, in the absence of activity and the desire to learn how to play the necessary roles in society, it's simply preventive gymnastics for the stomach.
The keeper's answer made an impression on the student. At that moment, he wished that those very students were here and heard every word of the great guru. He memorized every figure of speech and the serious tone with which the teacher spoke, intending to relay his response, word for word.
Thank you, beloved teacher,
he said, smiling and respectfully nodding his head.
I will convey everything exactly as you said, and I will follow it myself.
In the meantime, in the hall, the forest of hands was formed again, and the sage allowed another man from the front rows to ask his question. He had entered the tent early and had often wanted to address the teacher. But each time, listening to the questions of others, he was very attentive and often pushed his sliding glasses back to his nose.
"I thank you, wisest," he said,
flattered by the opportunity to speak.
"Please explain why the predominance of yin energy prevails in the world. Even here, not to mention the rest of the world. Everywhere you look, upon closer examination, you can see yin and tamas. Yet, despite this, we have wars. Why is that? After all, war and technocracy are obvious manifestations of yang energy, aren't they?"
"You've asked a good question,"
replied the teacher, as if pondering.
"Indeed, yin energy prevails throughout the world. It's a prevailing trend. Remember how we were raised? How often did we hear from our parents? Lie down, rest, don't shout, don't make noise. How often do you hear praise for calm children who don't create problems or inconveniences for adults nowadays? The current generation has been raised this way, encouraged for being relaxed and calm, leading to a passive way of life. It used to be the opposite. Remember Nekrasov's poem, Pocket-Sized Man? Recall its plot. A little 6-year-old son helps his father with household chores, guides horses, and collects firewood. Why does he do this? Because work was necessary. The family is big, but there are only two men, my father and me. Nekrasov's generation was taught to be active from a young age. As a result, they were more yang, more active, and conflicts flared up more quickly. Take, for example, the current mobilization. We hear a lot of news about draft dodgers and deserters. Some people hide, run away, surrender. People don't want to go to war. They simply don't have that energy. But in the past, it was the opposite. People were aggressive. We often hear in history about wars, uprisings, rebellions. For various reasons, for ideologies, freedom, independence, territory, and so on. Why is that? Because people were more yang, more active. They wanted to prove something, fight, move, and be active. Rarely did anyone run away from war, as we see today. It was the opposite. They went to war to defend their position because yang energy predominated.
"Thank you, teacher, for such a comprehensive and accessible answer,"
the man said, smiling and respectfully nodding his head as he returned to his seat, contemplating the teacher's words. Next, a middle-aged woman with short curly hair took the floor. She kept fanning herself and casually straightening her tangled hair.
"Tell me, dear teacher, continuing the topic, I want to ask this question. Nowadays, many children in society are labeled as hyperactive. Some parents even go to doctors for sedative prescriptions themselves. And many doctors consider this a diagnosis. If you think about it, it's considered a deviation from the norm if a child is restless and very active. Why are there more such children being born now? Or were children always like this? And it's just parents' unwillingness to live with an inconvenient child?"
"Of course, children have always been children. And their energy levels haven't changed, neither more nor less than the current generation of children. It's more about the changing way of life and the responsibilities that were previously placed on children. In the past, children were given household chores from a very young age. Not vacuuming and mopping floors, but taking care of livestock or harvesting crops. This is something not every adult can handle today. This way, their excess energy was expended through physical labor. Or children were taught a trade, which also required considerable energy expenditure. Moreover, all of this often took place in the fresh air. All their free time, children used to spend outside, in motion. Where did the word hyperactivity come from here? In today's conditions, children are confined within the four walls of their apartments. They don't play outside much. They spend a lot of time at the computer and lead a sedentary lifestyle. Parents take care of them, and don't burden them with household chores. But the child's natural energy hasn't diminished because of this, so where can it find an outlet? Hence the result. The child shouts, runs, jumps, makes a mess at home, bounces off the ceiling. Where else can they put this unstoppable flow of energy? It needs to find an outlet. Let it go, do something, learn to work, engage in labor and sports. Nowadays, there are many different clubs and activities available. Parents should understand this and help the child find the right channel to direct this energy into.
At that moment, a voice from the audience spoke up.
It's not the children who are hyperactive. It's our hyperpassive society.
This immediately found support from other students and listeners. Cheers of agreement erupted.
Yes!
Exactly, exactly.
Many of those present were parents themselves, and the teacher's discussion of such a pressing issue stirred their emotions. The sage allowed time for the listeners to exchange thoughts on this topic, exchanging a few words with those sitting nearby. This brought those gathered even closer, and after a brief pause, the Keeper of Knowledge decided to continue. The conversation took a slightly different turn when one of the teacher's students, standing near the exit, partially bathed in sunlight, asked his question.
Great, teacher. Our souls and yours are on different levels in the subtle level, correct? You mentioned that you invited students from Sirius to join you, and we also feel a kinship with you and Sirius. But how does this happen? Do souls on Sirius also exist on different levels? Can you explain how it all works?
The response didn't take long to arrive.
In the physical level, we all live on the same level, regardless of the path we've taken before. Whether a person has reincarnated from an ant or become an angel, Buddha, or Christ, they all exist on the same level. And that's why there is a mixing of different levels here. But in the subtle level, there is already a division by level. Those who are insects are at the lowest level. Those who are animals are higher. Those who are humans are even higher. Then come the angels and so on. Everything is divided by levels there, and all souls are close to other souls with whom they have good matches, good relationships, and something in common, some connection. Thus, souls are distributed to appropriate positions and are in a favorable environment with similar souls. But on a physical level, it's the opposite. People have different thoughts and actions, different lifestyles, and conflicts can arise from this. People start quarreling, fighting, and resisting. But on a subtle level, they would be in their corresponding places, close to similar souls who think and see things as they do. As for Sirius, since Sirius is still a physical level, there's also a mixing of people. People of both high and low levels live together there. This is unlike the subtle level, where everything is organized by levels.
At this point, a beautiful woman with straight red hair raised her hand.
Teacher, tell us, we often hear the term soulmate. Does this mean that when we feel this way about a specific person, our souls in the subtle level are on the same level and close? And by the way, does it have to be a person? Can we feel it towards a tree or an animal?
Yes, it can happen that it's a tree, a cat, or something else. It's a pleasant feeling when we sense some inexplicable closeness and harmony when we are with these people or beings. On the other hand, when people come together and start quarreling, conflicting, and experiencing disharmony, it means that their souls don't match. They're going in different directions. That's why the physical level is so complicated. Souls of high and low levels, with different interests and values, are mixed here. Unlike the subtle level, where everything is orderly and harmonious. But this world was created for the soul to gain experience in a world where everything is wrong, chaotic, and unbalanced.
The final question for today was asked by a student with beautiful blue eyes and long black eyelashes.
Beloved teacher, I wanted to ask you about benefactors, people who provoke negative emotions. With them, there are often conflictual and contentious situations, disagreements, and friction. Does this mean that our souls are on different levels? Or is this excluded since he is supposed to help one develop and represents a benefactor?
The teacher looked warmly at the student and answered gently.
There are different types of people. Sometimes it's a person of a higher level who uplifts us to their level. Sometimes it's a person of a lower level who, conversely, drags us down. Sometimes it's people of the same level, but, for example, both have a desire for fame, and they argue to determine who is superior. Various cases can occur. If this person is of a higher level, then in any case, it will be good, because they will uplift us. Even if they win an argument, that victory will be for our benefit. But if they are on the same level or lower than us, it's always bad because they will pull us down.
By this time, the sun was already scorching, creating a stuffy atmosphere under the tent, and the question posed by the beautiful student marked the end of today's discussion. The teacher stood up, and all of the students rose with him, while those who were already standing straightened up and turned their eyes to the sage.
Our conversation is coming to an end. Time and the sun have made that clear to us. We've heard many important questions today, and I know that you will carry the answers in your hearts and minds.
The teacher joined his hands together and closed his eyes for a moment. At that moment, a radiant light illuminated the souls of each of those present, and happiness filled their hearts. It was evident that the knowledge bestowed by the teacher today would find its application in the lives of the students, who were already looking forward to their next meeting with the great keeper of knowledge.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.